right, now this is the first episode of Iced Out in the spring 2021 semester. We've gone on a little bit of a hiatus, but, you know, we're back and ready to go now. My name is Joshua Ragsdale. I am joined by my new co-host,
Katie Gibraltar.
And we have our first guest of this semester,
Will Zeke.
All right, so Will, why don't you tell us kind of just a little bit about yourself, just some introduction stuff, all that.
Yeah, so I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. I'm a local kid, born and raised in Alabama my whole life. I'm a junior this year. I'm majoring in electrical engineering, which is a little bit of a challenge with playing, but I enjoy it. And like I said, I'm a junior. I also co-op, so I get to work while I play, which is kind of a cool experience. But that's the basics behind me. I've been playing hockey my whole life since I could stand up and walk almost. So, yeah.
That's pretty interesting. You know, you said that you're Alabama, Huntsville guy, born and bred. But you've been playing hockey all your life. You don't hear that a lot.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I know that Huntsville is, you know, if there's a hockey city in the state of Alabama, it's probably Huntsville. And then Birmingham's number two. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into it?
Yeah, so Huntsville used to be called the hockey capital of the South. We have the UAH Chargers there, and my dad was actually the first goalie for UAH way back then. But because of that, that's why I got into hockey. He, you know, fell in love with it when it was just a club team there, and been playing ever since. He didn't want me to be a goalie, though, because that's too expensive, but he's living out his player dreams through me. Yeah.
So why Alabama, then? You must have had some pressure to go to UAH.
Yeah, UAH was honestly too close to home, and especially now that they're a D1 school, being from Alabama, getting recruited anywhere for hockey is kind of a long shot. So Alabama offered me a chance to come play still competitive high-level hockey and make the team. And obviously I can't be the scholarships here too, but it's far enough away from home that I don't have to deal with the parents right at the back door every day. So
I was going to say, like, the competitiveness, this is why.
That's fine.
The competitiveness of coming here and like allowing you to play high, like still high level hockey, kind of go into that a bit. I know you're talking to me a little bit about the team being really close and like getting to do the away game stuff, so.
Yeah, so it's one of those things, like if you're from the South, to play high level hockey growing up, you usually combine with other cities. So I played with kids from Nashville and Atlanta growing up to go play AAA out in Chicago, Detroit, Colorado, all those places. And that's why that competitiveness is just so far between in the South. And coming here for Alabama, it's D1 club, so it's still competitive. It's just the hard part for us is traveling. Our closest opponent is 8 hours away, and that happens to be Maryville. And that's why even a lot of our recruits on the team, to maintain that competitiveness, they're all from Chicago or Canada or a lot more out up north. There's a few kids from Florida, but most of them, like I said, are from Chicago or out in Canada. So that's what keeps it competitive.
I was gonna ask you, talk a little bit about your major. You said maintaining your major was kind of hard with the time commitment to the team.
Yeah, so being an electrical engineer it's a lot of hours outside of the classroom. I just came from a lab before this, and labs just, they eat up your time. And the more I've gone in depth in this, the less choices I have for classes. So that makes it really challenging to work my schedule around hockey, knowing that hockey is going to take 4 to 5 hours a night, 3 to 5 days a week. It's just good time management, knowing what I have to do when I have to do it, and praying that I don't have a lab overlap with the practice, which hasn't happened yet. So we're good on that, but it's a lot of studying, whether it's on the bus late at night or sitting in the hotel room knocking out a homework assignment before we play a game. So yeah.
You think a lot of guys are doing their homework on the bus, or is it more just hanging out, jacking around?
More or less just hanging out, and I'm guilty of it too. I mean, there's only so much you can do on a bus before you're like, all right, we need to mess around, have some fun here. What are we gonna do? Play some cards, you know, put some stupid movie on, or just fall asleep. But yeah.
As far as a stupid movie, do you guys like kind of veer towards the hockey movies on the bus, or do you stay away from them?
I'd say with our guys, it's definitely more of veering away from it. We don't don't really watch any classic hockey movies. We always watch just any odd or funny movie that's not related to hockey, honestly.
So team favorite, which one's the go-to?
We haven't even watched one more than once, so I couldn't say we have a go-to.
It's a like a movie rotation. Club, really.
Yeah, it's just constant rotation.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So if you had to go for a hockey movie, which one? What's in the lineup?
Can't go wrong with D2. That's probably by far my favorite. Followed by probably Mystery Alaska, be my second one. Those are probably the go-to ones that I'd say, hey, we're going to watch this one on the bus, boys. Sorry, it's my choice. But yeah.
No Miracle?
Miracle is it's good. It's kind of overplayed sometimes though, because you're always memorized about it. But I still can't go wrong. It's a great motivational movie, especially if you need an extra kick going into a big game.
Mm-hmm. kind of going off of what you were talking about, the time commitment, you know, especially you've got the co-op and all that stuff too. But also, you schedule games. Like, you handle a lot of the management side of things. So can you kind of go into your role on that side of things?
Yeah, so last year, once our coach kind of moved on to a new position, we had a kind of changeover in leadership and who would kind of run the club, vice president, presidency, all that. And I ended up taking over the vice president's role. And that has really been a fun task, but there's a lot to do with it. Like you were saying, scheduling games. This entire year, I've been working on scheduling us games now for the 2021-22 season, so next year, because COVID canceled our games. And that's ended up being somewhat of a challenge just because of coaches not wanting to respond to me or just busy with their own teams right now. But outside of that, it's kind of organizing ice times for us, just kind of in this COVID setting to where we can skate once a week casually and have some fun. Working with Trey and Eleni, two of our other president and one of our main interns, to get fundraising events set up. And one of the big ones that took place was putting together a salary or budget for the team, specifically like the coach's salary, our travel budget, our budget for playing at home and practices and all that. And that took a decent amount of time over the summer. But like I said, it's wouldn't have changed it. I love doing it. Glad to help out the team. So
an extra challenge going into this year, you know, talking about coach salary and all that, you guys are having to figure out who's going to be the D3, now D2 head coach and his salary. You know, when I talked with Trey a couple of months ago, it sounded like we had a guy. But has that changed at all, or are we still going with him? And I don't want to say anything because I don't want to say the name just in case, like, I'm going to get in trouble.
But that's still accurate. Yeah, Phil has a good guy that he brought in that's still looking to be the D2 coach for us. So we're still on track with that, to have two teams fully operational next year. And it's just putting the final pieces in of getting our new gear now that we're switching from Bauer to CCM. And then just getting all of our games put together and getting that travel plan put together.
One of the things, again, you know, when I talked to Trey, it was right when it looked like in the fall that we were going to have a little bit of a spring season. Mm-hmm. And he said that it was difficult to schedule games because, you know, you have COVID lumped on top of people already don't want to go down to Pelham, Alabama and play games. And so he said it something about a like Florida circuit was maybe being thrown around.
Yeah, so one of the things for the ACHA is you don't always have to play teams in your same division. And a lot of teams from Florida are actually D2, which that would be semi-closer for us to travel to in a lot of cases. And it was kind of a possibility of just getting us some games if we were gonna be allowed to play. And just to play someone, just to try, whether it's FAU, Florida Atlantic, or Florida State, any of those teams. And that's honestly a thing that's still in the mix, even for next year, just to get some extra games, because we're looking to get a close to a 40-game season.
Wow.
So right now we've picked up some games with Texas A&M. They're going to come to Pelham to play us because they're looking to go D1 in the future. But Florida teams are also not out of the picture to pick up some games. I got to work on that and get some emails sent out to some of those teams for sure. So,
Do you guys get a lot of time off when you're in other cities, or is it mostly just game leave?
It depends. It's usually kind of a quick turnaround. We get there on a Thursday night, and we might have a practice on a Friday morning, then have kind of the middle of the day to ourselves, but then we'll play Friday night, then we have all day Saturday, but we leave right after the game Saturday nights, usually because our travel is so long, so we have that overnight bus trip back to Tuscaloosa. But there are some times during the day. I mean, I remember, what I remember mostly is Utah, my freshman year. We did have a lot of time in between games on that one, so we had time to tour the city and fly around on those little bird scooters and check out a lot of the city, so that was a good time.
Let's kind of change it a little bit here. You've been here for, what, 3-4 years now?
Yeah, 3 years.
Okay, three years. So you've been on the team through some pretty transitional times. You know, last year we get a second team. All of a sudden we're back playing some SEC opponents and stuff at the D3 level. Kyle Richards leaves to go take a position back at Castleton,
yep,
right?
Castleton.
Where was his alma mater. Mm-hmm. And now new head coach, Phil Tesserero. What is kind of just your experience been like with the program?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of some ups and downs for sure. You know, coming in freshman year at an all-time high, making the team, I was kind of happy to be here. We had a solid team that year too. I think we just fell a little bit short on a couple of the games to make nationals at the end of the year. And then the second year, I came back ready to go because we had some great new recruits coming in, and we were looking to make a push off of the last year to hit nationals. But that was kind of the downturn there. Things just didn't seem to click, and I personally think it was just because we had a young team, a lot to do with it. So that transition of bringing in the D2 team and then kind of that fall of the games, losing all that streak, that was definitely hard. And then come to find out, you know, Kyle was leaving. It's like, all right, now it feels almost like a rebuild year again, so we're building ourselves back up, trying to put all the pieces together. But I still can't complain. I mean, I love playing, so even through the ups and downs, I'm still going to be here, still want to play a game. So,
being the Alabama bred guy, do you feel a little bit of, you know, pride that you're here? You know, you're the Alabama guy, you're playing with, you know, some guys on the team have some NHL pedigree, and you're, you know, sticking it out in there and representing the home state?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely take a lot of pride in that. A lot of work to get to where I am. I mean, when I came in, most guys didn't know who I was. They thought I was just some random kid from Alabama who can't skate, right? But just hours in the gym or on the ice, proving that I can play, finally paid off. So I definitely take pride in that and try and make Alabama look good the best I can. So
you do a pretty good job of that. So
I got something. Okay. So I did a smidgen of research on you. Not really, but we can call it that. I saw that your favorite NHL player is Max Domi, and I wanted to ask you how you felt about, I don't know if you want to like just go into hockey, but how you felt about his trade from Montreal to Columbus, if you saw that.
Yeah, so Max, I'll say first, the main reason Max Domi's favorite player is because he's a type 1 diabetic, and I'm also a type 1 diabetic. So I kind of found out about that and wanted to learn from the way he prepares for a game, what his pregame meals are, what he's doing when he has a low during a game or anything like that. Of course, that's kind of technical talk for a person with diabetes. But back to his trade, I mean, it's kind of surprising to me because it seemed like he started out in Arizona, right? And then had been traded to Montreal a few years ago, and I thought he had found a solid home there. So going to Columbus was definitely kind of a surprise to me, especially with John Tortorella as a coach. I know he's a real tough guy there. So, of course, Max, he seems like the guy that's going to fit into that role. He's definitely going to do what he's told when he needs to do it. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. Right now, it looks like it's been a good fit for him. They've been winning some games, I know. So,
cool.
Yeah. Some similar professional league stuff, but you know, dropping it down a little bit. We've gotten a couple of guys from Alabama who've been kicking it around a little bit in some of the pro leagues. Pierre Ouellette had a little stint with the Ice Bears. Yep. I don't think he's there anymore right now, but he's still around. And Jeremy Hanna, good guy. We had him on podcast not too long ago, actually.
Yep.
He was in Sweden. I've heard maybe that he's thinking about coming down south a little bit, maybe, but I don't know about that.
I'd love to see the game. You know,
it's kind of seeing Alabama guys make it, at least at some professional level. Does that kind of inspire you? Are you like, I'm going to go like kind of grind it out in the lower leagues and work your way up, or
what? Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of one of my things. Even after this, I don't want to quit playing. So I'd love to be able to play in some of those lower leagues or even like the SPHL, like Pierre was in. Obviously it's a lot of work. Still got 2 years myself here. So hopefully by that time I can mature into what some of those lower leagues are looking for. But yeah, I definitely think, I mean, I can speak for some of the other guys on the team that they'd love to continue playing at some of those lower leagues and continue putting some Alabama guys in some, you know, professional, semi-professional hockey.
And I mean, you're a Huntsville guy too, even. So right. Huntsville Havoc, like the kings of the SPHL, right? So
Right. That'd be pretty cool to go back and be able to play for the Huntsville Havoc being from Huntsville. So we'll see, though. That's time will tell, I guess. Yep.
How about this, you know, Phil, new head coach, all that. Do you know what happens if you Google Phil Tesserero? You know what pops up?
I want to say it's probably a fight or two from the Birmingham Bulls.
Just a couple, you know. Have you seen any of them? Or?
Never watched them myself, and I'm sure he's probably a pretty scrappy guy out there, so.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. They're pretty entertaining. So, has he given you any pointers? Or?
No, not yet. I'm going to need to pick up some. I know, you know, he's got to teach me a few.
That's what you're going to ask him, right, when you see him next time?
Like, absolutely. Hey, Phil, I don't really care about anything else. I just want to learn how to fight, all right? teach me the ins and outs, okay? When am I grabbing? When am I pulling? That's just what I need to know, but we'll see what Phil wants to tell me.
Is there like a set enforcer on the team, or is everyone kind of pull their weight?
There's definitely more guys that are more enforcers than not. I'd say by far, Siebold and Kirkwood are probably by far the two biggest enforcers, holding back there on D, two big bodies. I feel like I need to fill that role a little more myself, being a big guy out here, 6'3". So, but yeah, definitely Siebes and Dini. Always out there heckling guys, chirping them, giving them a little extra out in front of the net too after they get a little too close to our goalie. So,
what's the go-to? Like, who's got the best chirps?
Best chirps, gosh.
You maybe?
No, by far not me. By far not me. I keep my mouth shut and play. I don't. I'd throw it back again to Siebes. Siebes has some pretty good ones. Deanie's always out there, or even Furry. Furry really can. He can really get under your nerves. He knows what to say when he needs to. So,
I remember, you know, I was doing some broadcasts for the D1 team last year. I remember talking about Deanie on some big hits and stuff like that, kind of knocking guys around all that. So
he's not afraid to throw the body around.
No. And I also will say that when I first saw you today, one of the first things that ran through my head was that, man, he's pretty tall for a hockey guy. So
right. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hit my growth spurt, though, until my freshman year. I came in, my nickname was Slenderman because I was was probably 6 foot, 155 soaking wet. But thank gosh that was 3 years ago, right? So I've had time to hit the gym a lot. I'm growing 3 inches, put on 20, 30 pounds here. So fit more out in the league now. I can throw my weight around and not die out there.
that's the important thing. There's some big guys at the ACHA.
Oh, absolutely. Especially those teams like Adrian and Liberty. They get some good recruits. They get some guys that probably shouldn't be in the ACHA, but, you know, bad luck ended up there, so.
Let's talk about, okay, I'm also curious about this. Do you schedule games for the D3 team? Or D2 team, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to break that habit.
It's, I don't know, it's a blurred line, right? But no, I currently haven't, because they do have their own, like, president, vice president that we kind of communicate with, or at least try to. I know they're going to mostly do SEC schools again, and that's something that if they need help on, I'll obviously, of course, reach out to them so they can get their game scheduled. But I haven't done that yet. I've been mainly focused for us just trying to get as many games as we can. Being an independent team, it's hard to find games or for people to come down to Pelham, like you said earlier.
I mean, it's hard enough to get our guys up to Pelham. I couldn't imagine another team trying to come on down.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like public knowledge, so maybe. But I was talking to Delaney, and she was saying that maybe y'all are trying to work on getting a rink here. If you
well,
do.
There are some very rumorish things that might be in the works. About a sports complex, there might not be, you know, we'll see how it goes, yeah. But no, you're fine. I mean, it's news that some people are talking about it in Tuscaloosa, but yeah.
That's news to me. I haven't heard about the sports complex,
yep.
But
she didn't say it was...
No, it's fine.
No, one of the things that we've been trying to push and throw around with the club committee here is getting possibly a portable rink set up. My biggest go-to is the way that Georgia does it for their hockey team. They have a portable ice rink set up in a convention center, and they play all their home games in roughly 2 to 3 months' time. And they pack this convention center. It's right on campus. So just kind of pulling off of them, I've been throwing out the idea of getting a portable rink set up to do it in even Coleman Coliseum while the basketball team's not playing, especially in like the fall, right at the end of the fall semester or something. And then we've obviously talked about a rink, but the sports complex is more news to me, which is it's good. That's what I want to hear, though, for sure, for us. So,
you know the old McFarland Mall?
Yeah.
They demolished it sometime this week, I think, and the owner of the land is supposedly pushing for a sports complex to be built there.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll
That's
see.
That's great news.
And we'll see what sports, you know, they throw in there, and maybe we'll get someone's ear.
Yeah, someone to buy
Get some
it.
Actual home ice.
There's plenty of opportunities. I mean, with an ice rink here, it doesn't just limit us to hockey. I mean, any type of date party, you know, sororities and fraternities out here, any type of date party, to eat that up, to go skating out there. And just with a hockey team there too, the amount of youth we would bring in just in the community just to get them to learn to skate and everything. The benefits are there. It's just talking to the right people for sure.
What do you think that would bring to the program? Because, you know, we've had a pretty successful run having to go 45 minutes, you know, up, you know, north, central, whatever, Alabama. So what would a theoretical home ice do, do you think?
Oh, leaps and bounds for the program. I mean, I think now we do pretty decent on getting guys to come here. But with the rink on campus, the amount of guys that would want to play and come here from high-level leagues before that, it's no question we'd have a great team. We'd be one of the top competitors probably in the ACHA. I just knew that rink on campus would change a lot. I mean, it'd even be talk of maybe going from club to NCAA Division I if that happened. So
I know that was, you know, at the, not too long ago, that looked like it. We were trending in the right direction to kind of make that leap, but...
Yeah,
one of
the biggest things with that, though, is the way NCAA sports work is if you take create one new team for Division I, for NCAA, you have to have another team with it.
It's Title IX.
Yeah, Title IX, the men's and women. So we'd have to find another team to come up with this, and I think the biggest candidate would be women's rowing, actually, because they're always really dominant in their competitions and everything, too.
Really, women's rowing here is a club sport?
It is, yeah.
Really? I did not know that. I'm surprised.
The Witt Center actually is their training center, more or less.
Wow, yeah. Wow, I did not know that. I've seen, like, the signs and stuff, but the way that things look in there, it always looks so, like, professional, and, I mean, I just assumed it was NCAA, but...
Yeah, I know.
It looks legit. Yeah. I trespassed. I would know. I'm sure.
But yes, so, you know, before anyone gets their hopes up, we do not have an ice rink in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, this is all talk
it is
for now.
All rumor. We're just having fun. We're just having a good time.
Just putting the mouth over here.
No, it's fine. You know. do you have anything you want to ask? Or?
I mean, I think I'm good. I think that was.
I'll toss you one softball one. Favorite moment in a game so far.
Gosh, favorite moment. By far, when we were playing Iowa State last year, it was one of the few games we won. Hate to say it, but Caleb Breer, overtime hero in that one. But that was a fun game. The energy was there the whole game. I remember scoring and had a chance to win it in the third period, and I blew it. But that's besides the point. It just, the so electric coming off the bench after Kalen scored that, just we were so happy to get a win, and by far my most favorite moment that I could think of being here so far. So
that was a top 15 ACHA team too, you know.
It was, yeah.
What's funny you bring that up too, because when Kalen was on the podcast, I asked him about his unique celebration after that one, where he just kind of threw himself head first into the glass.
Yeah, Kalen's always changes up with the celebrations, but I don't know what was up with that one. Maybe just happy to get the game over with, get the win on our belts there. So
I'm sorry, one more softball. Speaking of celebrations, what's your go-to?
Mine's just real simple. I need to come up with something new, but it's just put the hands up and just scream. Yeah, we did it. We got a goal, right? So, but I need to come with something creative, change it up some.
All right, I think that's gonna do us here on the fourth episode of Iced Out. You could consider this season two, I guess. I don't know. My name is Joshua Ragsdale. I was joined here with my co-host,
Katie Gibraltar.
And we had our wonderful guest,
Will Zeke, and thank you for having me on.
It was a pleasure to have you on. See you guys next time.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.